Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Star's Opinion, the Christian perspective. My name is Star. Welcome back to my channel. If you are new here, welcome. If you are a returning subscriber or listener, welcome. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, go ahead and do so. So this video is about forgiving those who have wronged you. Yes, I know it's hard, but the Lord says that we must forgive. So this year, I did a video earlier this year around February, and the Lord told me that this is the year of victory for the Lord's servants. And I was so excited when I got the word. I'm like, yes, but I didn't fully understand that the reason why I will have the victory is because I will be going through many trials, but not to fret or not to be discouraged, because God has overcome them all, or I have overcome them all through Christ Jesus. So when I finally got the full grasp of what that prophetic word meant, I said, okay, Lord, now I understand. So let's go ahead and go into the throne room of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your compassion. I just thank you for you, Father. Lord, let this podcast edify the listeners that hear it. Do as you promised to do, Father, when you said, I will put my words in your mouth. Lord, speak through me as I record this podcast, and let it edify. Let it draw people closer to you so they may ask, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to draw closer to the Father? Lord, you are a wonderful Father. You give good gifts to your children. Oh, how I adore your holy name, Father. Be with me. Be with the person who is listening. Let your angels that fear you encamp around them so they will be protected on their way to work, coming from work, or whatever they are doing, Father. I thank you and I praise your holy name. All right, guys, so let's just get into this video real quick. It's not going to be long. So I was in the book of 1 Samuel. The Lord led me there. Whenever I'm reading scripture, I'm always asking the Lord, where do you want me to read? Because what do you have to say to me? So as I stated before, that I have been going through a lot of trials, especially in my family in the last few months. And I was lied on. I was done wrong. There were arguments. It was just a complete mess, right? And so when the Lord had me go to 1 Samuel to read, I read about how Hannah cried out to the Lord for this baby, and she had this baby, and she gave Samuel, which is her baby, she gave him back to the Lord. She brought him to the temple. The Lord was with Samuel. The Lord gave Samuel a prophecy to give to the temple priest, which was Eli, and about his sons and how God was going to punish Eli and his sons for showing contempt for the Lord's altar and his laws, right? And so then I went on and I read the story on how Saul was anointed king by the Lord through the prophet Samuel, and then how David was anointed to be king around the age of 13 or 16 years old. He was a young boy, but the Lord anointed him to be king because the Lord has ripped the kingdom away from Saul, because Saul only cared about what the people thought. He only cared about what the people wanted. He only cared about pleasing the people and not pleasing God. So the kingdom was ripped away from Saul, and the Lord says, I found someone better than you, a man who is after my own heart, which was David, right? So David, he comes into the kingdom. He's still living with his father, but he comes into the kingdom and he slays Goliath. But even in that, when David was asking about this Philistine, his older brother was like, why are you here? What are you doing here? Right? And David was like, why are you coming at me like that? Basically, like, I just asked a question. So he goes on and he kills Goliath because the Lord is with David. So then when David became a part of the army, because Saul was like, listen, I'm going to ask your father this for you to stay with me. So he does that. And then Saul becomes jealous of David. So when Saul becomes jealous of David, now Saul wants to kill David because Saul realized that the prophecy that Samuel has said, the word from the Lord said that he has ripped the kingdom away from you and he has found somebody else that is better than you, someone who is after God's own heart. Saul realized that this is David. So he tries to kill him with everything in him. He even lies on David. Like, he wants to take my kingdom away from me. He's spreading all these rumors about David, which was not true. But David remained humble. David was like, what did I do? What did I do to deserve this treatment? Right? So I thought about it. David was at home at his father's house, tending the sheep, tending the cattle or whatever they had, minding his own business, didn't ask to be king of anything, right? He was, you know, fine where he was at, and the Lord saw fit to make David king. And so in order to get him ready for his role, because remember, David did not become king over Israel and Judah until he was 30 years old. So we're talking about almost a 15-year difference, right? If not more. And so during that 15 years, when David was running for his life because King Saul was trying to kill him, David did not take revenge in his own hands, even though rightly so in our eyes and human wisdom, we're like, well, you know, Saul is, he's trying to kill you. So you have every right to defend yourself. You have every right to get him before he gets you. But David was like, no, I'm going to let the Lord decide between me and him and who's right and who's wrong. And the Lord would judge the guilty one. So when I saw that, I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. I have to allow you to vindicate me. I have to allow you to be my lawyer. I have to allow you to fight for me. You know everything. You know what was said. You know what was done. You know what I say. You know what this person said. And you are the righteous judge, and you will judge accordingly and righteously between the matter, right? He said, David told Saul, let the Lord judge between us to see who is in the wrong or who is the guilty one. So I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. So this is just a reminder that we have to allow God to be our righteous judge. He knows all things. He sees all things, and he is the righteous judge. Then it reminded me when Abraham and Sarah was arguing about Hagar, and she said, let the Lord decide between me and you who is right and who is wrong, right? So sometimes we want to vindicate ourselves so bad, because just like King David, I didn't ask for this. I was fine doing what I was doing. And what did I do to deserve all of this attack and to deserve all of this backlash? But the Lord said, let me decide between who is guilty and who is not. All you have to do is hold your peace. All you have to do is pray for those who despitefully use you. All you have to do is pray for your enemies. All you have to do is love your enemies. So even when it was hard for me to do that, Lord, it's hard for me to pray for them. It's hard for me to love them, but I value your word above my feelings. Let me cast down these imaginations and let me submit them to the word of God. I trust you, Father. This is how you build your faith in who he is. This is how you build your faith in his word, right? You have to surrender your will. I just did a video on surrendering to God daily, basically giving God your yes. Every day that you wake up, you tell the Lord, yes, I will do it. I feel this way. I want to do this, but I trust you. So I will surrender under your authority, and I trust that you will vindicate me. I trust that you will decide between who is right and who is wrong. And when we do that, the Lord vindicates you. It might happen fast. It might happen not fast, right? It might take some time for it to happen or for you to see it. But there's a proverb and it says that when you see the Lord punishing those who did you wrong, do not rejoice, because then you will disappoint the Lord and then he will pull back his hand. There's a proverb that says that. So that came to mind too. So I said, Lord, I never want to rejoice when you are punishing those who have wrongly did something to me, but help me to keep a humble heart. Help me to keep a loving heart. Help me to be more like you. Help me to surrender to you. So this is what he's been doing to me, just molding me and shaping me. And, you know, to be honest, it's been a beautiful journey. It has its ups, it has its downs, it has its times where I'm just like, Lord, help me, right? But the Lord is so patient. He's so good. He's so kind. He's so compassionate, right? So with that being said, I value the trials that I went through because it made me stronger in his word. It made me stronger in my faith to trust him, to know that he will vindicate me in all situations as long as I am in right standing and in his will. So I am excited. I have a peace, this peace that passes all understanding. It's so wonderful to be under the shadow of the Most High God. It's so wonderful to be in his will. It's so wonderful to be in covenant with him. So I can ask anything that I want and it will be done. Seriously, like I literally be like, Lord, I need to find a parking space. And as soon as I say that prayer, bam, I find a parking space. Or I'm like, Lord, I can't find this, or I need help with this. The Lord answers my prayers. And he's like, you can ask me for bigger things. You can ask me for more things, right? Whatever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And the reason why is going to be so because you are in my will. He says, when you abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. So I'm like, Lord, is this what it means to abide in you? I can ask you anything and you do it. Even if it's as simple as, Lord, I need a parking space, right? Lord, help me get there on time. Or Lord, please. And he's answering my prayers. And I'm like, wow. He said, I told you, whatever you bound on earth, you shall bound in heaven, right? He said, don't you believe my word? So it's teaching me to love the character of God. I've drawn closer to God in the trials that I was going through. I did a video in February and the Lord says that this would be your year of victory. And I was like, oh, yes, praise the Lord, right? This is my year of victory. Not really understanding that the reason why I will have the victory is because I will have many trials. So it was like, okay, Lord, now I got it. But I thank the Lord. I don't find it strange. I don't think it's strange that these things are happening to me, right? So, you know, with endurance, I will be perfect and needing nothing. And his word becomes alive because you dwell on his word, you meditate on his word, and his word is really active and is really sharper than any two-edged sword. If I could just pour it on you guys, the goodness of who he is in his word. I love the word of God. So that is all I have to say. Forgive those. And then if it's hard for you to forgive them because the hurt is so deep, tell the Lord, Lord, it's hard for me to do that, but I trust you. I value your word. Help me to value your word over my feelings so I can be in right standing with you, right? We could be honest with God. I think a lot of times we are not honest with God because we can't be honest with ourselves. So when we can't be honest with ourselves, then we can't be honest with God. So we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with God in our prayers. And so when we are transparent in our secret place, that is when God can really mold us and shape us into what he has called us to be according to his word. So we have to recite the word of God with with all faith. And even if you have to repeat the word of God continually until you believe it, do so, because it does something to the mind and it does something to the heart when you repeat the word of God out loud and when you speak the word of God to every situation, right? It doesn't matter what the situation is. You speak the word of God to that situation, and that situation has no choice but to bend down to the word of God. But you must say it with the authority that he has given you. You must say it with no doubt. You must say it from a clean vessel, right? You got to be clean. When I'm talking about clean, I'm talking about your lifestyle. Your lifestyle has to be consecrated to God. So ask God to help you to consecrate your life to him, to consecrate your mind, your heart, your will, and your emotions to him. So when you speak his word with all the authority that he has given you, right? Because his word says that he has given you the authority, then things have to move, things have to shake, because the Lord has spoken. He has given you the victory. So that is all I have to say. Let me know what you guys think about this video. Do not forget to head over to Amazon to purchase my book, How Do You Like Your Coffee No Longer Lukewarm? It is available for you all. And let me know what you guys think about this video in the comments. And I will talk to you guys later. Bye.